Amen. I tell you one thing, it's a pretty day out there. It don't even look like it should have been any snow on the ground as far as it is out there. And as warm as it is, but hey. But one thing about it though, I tell you what. The Lord is, he's wonderful, he really is. But tonight I'm going to go back and I'm going to read a verse or two of scripture right here in the book of Genesis, and then I'm going to get back over to Daniel chapter 3. No, I may have read these verses here the other week, but still, I think it's any time that you can read the same scripture over and over and over, it'll still come alive. But it, you know, as I was talking about this morning, the promises of God, and He's always with us, and the things that He will lead, guide, and direct us, and He allows things to come into our life that sometimes we wonder why would God allow them things. But here in Genesis chapter 22, in verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am." Now we can say the same thing. You know, the Lord can speak to us, and he can say, "Well, I'm gonna allow this to happen in your life," and whatever. And he uses the devil to do that, because I don't think God Himself is not going to bring any kind of chastisement or judgment to His people unless His people just get out of His will and get away from Him. And then that's when He's going to allow the Satan, the devil, to come in and attack us and do what he can. But the only thing, what God's trying to do, God's trying to get us back to where we once was. And I know we all, we can all need a closer walk with the Lord. I need a closer walk with the Lord each and every day. And you can probably say the same thing about your own life. But it talks about Abraham and where God did tempt Abraham. Like I said this morning, that word tempt right there means test. What he's doing, he's testing Abraham's faith. And God tests our faith also, and says in verse 2, and said, "And he said, and God said, Take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him thou for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and he saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off." Right here we see the story where God had spoke to Abraham, because Abraham was losing his faith. Abraham was not as close to God as he once was. So he's tempting his faith. He's testing his faith. He's testing everything that Abraham had ever hoped to be or wanted to be. Now we know we can go over to the 14th chapter, I believe it is, somewhere like that, and it's talking about Abraham being the father of nations. It talks about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Abraham is the father of this nation. Abraham is the father of the Jewish people. He is the father that they look to, the Jewish people are looking to today, because they cannot look to the Messiah, because they don't even know anything at all about the Messiah, because they don't believe the Messiah has ever come. That he's never come, he's never bled, he's never died, and he's never took up the cross. They think that all of that's just something that man had wrote here in Scripture, which we know it's not true. We know that this is the very Word of God. We know that's the reason we have Easter time, is speaking of the death, the burial, and the resurrection. And that's the reason we have Christmas. That's the reason we celebrate them two times during the year for the Christian people, is because of the birth of our Lord and Savior. And then it's the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. Now, something as big as God moves in to an individual's life, as something as big as God moves in, Satan's not going to stay around. Satan can't stay around, because he don't want to be right there with God, because you know the story back in the beginning of time when Lucifer was there. It wasn't nobody there but God and Lucifer and his angels is all that was there. And he said, well, you know, well, God's created all of this. Now, I believe I can do the same thing. I believe I can do it just as good as God can. And I don't know if that's exactly what it was saying, but basically that's what he did say. He said, I can control and I can do just as good as God can. He was trying to take over God. He was trying to take over and the authority that God had. He wanted to be just like God, is what he's saying. He wanted to be just like God, and he wanted individuals to call him God. He wanted individuals to call him the Father. But it wasn't going to happen, because God is more powerful than anything else in the world. Now, you notice that, you know, over in Israel, you know, Russia and all of them over there in the Far East and everything, they got turmoil and everything going on. And you know that Russia, on the west side up next to Alaska and everything, that they're about ready to come, and they're about ready to bring havoc here on the United States of America. Now, other people think that they're going to bring havoc to other parts of the world over there. No, I don't believe so. I believe he's going to bring havoc to America. Why? Because they're on the western side. Now you have Iran and them. They're on the eastern side. So naturally, what are they going to do? They're going to come to the United States. They're going to come to here, and they're going to try their very best to destroy America. The only way that they'll ever destroy America is if God completely takes his hand off America. Now, I believe that God, now, I do believe this, and I think this, that God is slowly removing his hand, but he hasn't completely took his hand off of America. And because, the reason I say that is because still has some people here that's still trying to do God's work. And you know over in Israel that they try Iran, Iraq, and all of them over there, they're trying to do everything they can against Israel. And here Israel is, this little small country, is about as big as that. Right here in this Pennsylvania County, in the city of Danville, and South Boston, and then all together, that's how big it is in all of this county. But see, God has never took his hand off of Israel. God, I think God has Israel in the palm of his hand. And I believe it's wrapped around Israel. They want to destroy Israel. And we even got a president up there in the United States of America that believes that Israel's going to be destroyed. He believes that Israel is going to eventually be destroyed. Why? Because of all the other nations. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. I could go up there and I could tell it, hey, I don't have no, per se, I quit when I was in the 10th and a half, when I was in the 10th grade, middle way of the 10th grade, I quit school. But I finally went back and got my high school education. I didn't go to college, so I'm not that smart, per se. I'm not smart as when it comes to history and all of this stuff. But one thing about it, I have the history book that I'm reading. And I study it. This is the history book that everybody needs to have. They need to have this history book in your school system. And I believe that the president of the United States, whether he's saved or whether he's lost, he needs to have one of these sitting there on his desk. And I can't understand why somebody in America has not ever said that we need to gather all the Christians here in the United States of America. They need to take a day, and we don't have to have the president of the United States to set up a specific day for us to gather together as Christians and pray for this country. It's in the book. It's right here. We need to pray for this country. We need to pray for our leaderships daily. And you know, some of the things he's doing, it's hard for me to sit down and pray for it. But I do. It's hard. I don't love what he's doing. But God's word says that I'm supposed to love him. Yes, I know he probably hates my guts. He probably hates you too. And I go for it, I believe he hates America. But we're not supposed to hate him. But yet they think little Israel over there can't protect themselves. How many times have they ever tried to destroy Israel? They've tried it time and time again. May the 12th, 1948 is when Israel become a nation again. In 2018, May the 12th of 2018, it'll be exactly 70 years since Israel became a nation. You can look in the book of Ezekiel. You can look in the book of Daniel. You can look in the book of Revelation. And you have 70 years in them books. I'm not saying that is saying that he's coming back in 2018. I do not know. He could come back before the service has even ended tonight. One thing about it, there's not one individual that knows when he's coming back after the bride. And to be a bride of his, you've got to be born again. You have got your life it has to have that blood stain and that blood running through it. Now, the Jewish people, I don't know anything about all of their, all what they do and everything. But I do know one thing. That I have the Jewish blood running through my veins. Why? Because of that day at Calvary. Because he lost every speck. Every speck. If the examiner, or if up in Roanoke, if they had the body of Jesus when he come down from that cross that day, and if they could go back and look into his veins and into his body that day, they would not find no evidence at all that blood had ever run through his veins. Why? Because it was shed for me and you. Some people say, well, every drop is more than every drop. Because you know what? I can take and I can fill a little squeeze bottle up. A bottle that's got a little, where you have to squeeze it for it to come out, like a mustard bottle or a ketchup bottle or something like that. And I can pour just a coloring in and water and everything. It can be red like blood. I can go and I squeeze it. And I can squeeze it, and I can squeeze it. And I can open the top of it. All of this stuff. No, it's not. Still has residue in the bottle. You can take your finger and you can kind of go around. I don't know. I don't know about y'all, but when my wife is, or when my daughter's fixing a cake or anything like that, and fixing icing, they get down and they get all the icing that they can. And they're thinking they might have it all. But do you realize if you take your finger and where it looks like, it's none there? It's nothing but nothing. If you find it, we'll get residue. He didn't have no sign of blood through his veins at all. Why? Because he shed every drop. For who? For me and you. And for the Jewish people. For every individual. He even done it for the sinner idea. He even done it for the whoremongers. He even done it for everybody. The drunkard. He didn't just do it for me. He done it for us all. The day that I got saved, that day all day long, it was about dying. It was about what I wanted to do. It was about what I wanted for me in my life. What I could do for myself to be able to go and do. But at 7 o'clock that night, when I had them three individuals to come to my home, and I just kept on, I got out in on the tractor that day, just kind of continued dishing up and laying by the vegetables. I just kept on like that. They was up at his house. They didn't leave. Just talking to my wife and everything. Then he started walking out to the shop to where I was. I thought I was going to get angry. But if I don't, they would be gone all night. And they go on get there, so I talk for 5 or 10 minutes, and then they go on their way, and I go ahead and finish what I'm doing. And I went to them, and I started talking to them. It was sometime between 7:15 and 7:30. They started talking to me about the Lord. They started talking to me about what God had done for my life. And then they were telling me what God can do for me. But I would have to yield to him. I would have to ask him to save me. He wasn't going to pull me. He wasn't going to take and grab me and pull me outside and give me a good old lashing or whipping and anything like that and said, I'm going to save you tonight. No. And wait, that's not what God's word.
does it with humility. He does it with love and compassion. But that night, when I accepted my Lord, when I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, that night, then the individual that was leading me to the Lord, he ended up being my Sunday school teacher that, the first hour. He said, we don't need to stop. He said, we don't need to stop, brother. We got one other thing, I think, that I believe you need to do. And I believe maybe you want to do that. I got a sense from him. And I said, well, what's that? I said, that's all. Could you explain that? That's what I already did. He said, may I ask your Savior to be the Lord of your life? I come to realize something that night. That in the next days and next weeks of evening, when I asked him to be the Lord of my life, I only do what I do with the best ability that I have. Please me. It wasn't nothing about pleasing me anymore. It wasn't about what I wanted. It was about what he wanted from me. And he wanted my undivided attention. What he wanted from me. And we have to, and that's what we need to do as Christians. We don't need to get so deep in the Bible. We don't need to get off on this and that and everything. We need to get back to really thinking about what God really wants from us as individuals. As individuals. What does God want you to do? What does he want you to do? You be honest with yourself. What does God want you to do? What do you think that God would want you to do that would be pleasing to him? Don't put yourself out as to be pleasing to you. Would like to go to God and God? Yes, Lord. Anytime that we see the word but in the Bible, it's when the individual that speaking or whatever is trying to come some kind of excuse not to do it for God. Not to do it. And I got enough excuses to last me now to eternity. But the excuses I have will not please him. God said we should not be quick. And we can't. I believe that's two. Well, I give you two words here the other week that I think in God's vocabulary that we don't ever say. We don't like saying them. And I shared them with you. Two of them was, I'm sorry. I believe we as Christians, we need to get them two words out of our mouths and start speaking them words that where I'm sorry. And then when we say I'm sorry, then we will not go to God and say, God, I can't. All things is possible with God. There's nothing too big
for God. What's that song we sing? Sometimes, little is much when God is in it. So we can think that we're some significant. We don't think we are. We can do it. We don't think we have the ability. We don't think that we have the knowledge or we have the wisdom to do it. We don't. I don't have the wisdom. I don't have the knowledge. I don't have the voice to do it. I don't have the strength to do it. But He has it all. I have to leave to Him and allow Him to do it. And allow Him to do it within and through me. It's not about me. It's all about Him. And how should we please Him? In doing what we know is right to do. Doing what is right. And we know what is right. If you know anything about the Word of God, if you know anything about the Bible at all, you know that there's here in the Bible the things that we must do. There's some things here in the Bible that we don't have to go and ask God, God, would you help me with that? Would you help me with that? Would you answer that prayer request? No. We should not go to God and ask God to help us to where we can pray. We know how to pray. The Word of God tells us that we must pray daily. And we don't need to tell God almost either. So God, you know, you're going to have to help me where I can give my 10%. No, that's commanded by God. And I'm going to tell you some messages as far as the tithes and offerings. You'll find it nowhere in the Bible that God blesses anybody on your tithes. Always the offering. It's where we receive the blessing from. It's always above. Why? Because it becomes a sacrifice. And all through God's Word, we see where there was men and there was individuals in the Bible. Went beyond the 10%. They sacrificed something else. They would sacrifice an animal. Or they sacrifice this or that. But it doesn't make no difference if we say 10% to God and He's allowing us to have the other 90%. The whole 100% is God's. Every bit of it's God's. How would we like it?
I don't know how I got off on that.
But how would we like it
if it said here in the Word of God? Now I'll look at a verse of Scripture speaking about it, and that's over here in Malachi, chapter 3. Verse 10. Well, let's go back to verse 8. In verse 8 it says, will a man rob God? Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me, but ye say, when have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings? Ye are cursed, with a curse. For ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all. Now the word right here, tithe, is speaking of 10%. Let me read it this way. Bring ye all the 90% into the storehouse, that they may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith. How would we like it if in God's word he didn't mention anything about just 10% of it?
I want the 90%. I'm going to leave you with the 10%. We couldn't go far, could we? Not a day and time you live, you couldn't go far. See, God's not like that. God is not an individual that keeps everything. In other words, God wants us to have a little more than he has. But it says about tithes and offering. The tithe is his. It's his. If you don't give him that much, we're robbing God. We're stealing from God. But if you didn't give him pocket, and if you don't do nothing else but come out with 2/4. Well, if you got, I got 65 cents right now. If I give him 10% this morning, and I don't know if I give him 10% for the day, of what I have earned or what I have received, then what I have, I'm supposed to give an offering. I'm supposed to sacrifice something else for him. He's never let me go hungry. He's never let me go hungry. And I don't see many people where he has. And I know,
you know, I was watching the programs that they got on TV. They have them on TV all the time. And I feel sorry for them little children. And I feel sorry for them nations over there. Where they're starving the little children to death. They're not giving them nothing at all to eat, and they're just, not nothing but just skin and bones. And then they make some look like the belly's just swollen and everything. Well, you know,
in Samaritan Purse, Franklin Graham, he does a good work for overseas for the children there. But the way all of these people like Hollywood and all them people like that, and they talk about, they go over there and they say, well, if we don't send them so much and everything where they can be fed or something like that, is he going to die? And they come back with, look like them crocodile tears and everything that they shedding for that child. They're not ready to shed for that child. Yeah. They might not live that long. This morning, I ain't gonna have to worry about no disease. I ain't gonna worry about ever coming down with cancer. You know, since I've got saved and since I've become a Christian, I have never went to bed since then. I'm worried about waking up in the morning. I did a whole lot of time before I became a Christian. Since I became a Christian, I'm like majority of y'all. I cheated a little bit. I read the back of the book. And the back of the book says, we're going to have the glorified body. And I'm the bride of Christ. He's my husband. And you know, what people, you'd be surprised. And a whole lot of people will get off on that. Take your two words there. Speaking of Jesus being the husband of the bride, which he is the husband of the bride. And the Christian is the church. The ones that's born, be born again. They are the church. They are the body of Christ. We're his bride. One of these days, they're going to wish they'd have listened. They're going to wish that they took the answer when you called the house or when you went by and visited them and you knew somebody was on the inside. I mean, you know, that right there, it bothers me when I know that somebody's there at home. You go and you drive up. You park, then you go to the front door, and like I said, I don't go visit nobody by myself. I'm gonna have somebody else with me. Drive up and then go up to the only porch on the step or whatever, knock on the door. Right in front of you. Then you knock again. And then the next thing you know, you put your ear up a little closer. You can hear them inside. Rushing around. Trying to get away from the entrance of where that they may see. They don't want to come to the door. I'm not going to hurt them. I don't even own a pistol. I don't even own a rifle. My daughter, she says I can't have one. And she says, you can't have one. You ain't going to have one. Not in my house. Because she says, Daddy, I know if you have a gun in your house, and somebody comes knocking on that door, you're going to get nervous, and then you're going to end up killing somebody. And then I'm going to have to end up coming to the prison to see. So you ain't going to have a gun. I mean, that's the way she is. She just tells you flat out. I mean, there's no guessing with her. But she's probably right. I probably would not. I'd be so nervous. I don't want nobody coming in on my home. I don't want nobody coming in and messing with my home. And especially with my wife and my daughter. I don't want nobody coming in and bothering them. Because if you mess with my daughter, or if you mess with my wife, and you start talking about one of them, then what I'll do, I'll just go back over in the corner a little bit, and I may look like I'm praying. What I'm saying is, God, right now, I want to put on my Christianity on hold right now. Because what I'm about to do, you ain't gonna like it. Now, I know I'm not supposed to act that way, but I don't think God expects for me just to be there and I protect my family. I'm going to protect my family at all costs if I have to. Hey, I'll go to jail for it. That's the reason, I reckon that's the reason God allowed me to have to go to sit farm that for 5.5 years. I reckon because he knew that one day I was going to have to get used to it now. So we ain't going to go stand in the pulpit and preach, because we do, we're going to be locked up. But I tell you, I want everybody that I come in contact with. What do you say that, brother?
Right.
Come on in the house. We've got about 10 more minutes, man, but that's all right. Hallelujah. But you know, I want everybody that I come in contact with, I want them to have the same joy that I feel in my soul. And how do you do that? First of all, they're not saved, they're going to be born again. They've got to be washed in the blood. The Holy Spirit convicts an individual soul. When you're under conviction, then the Holy Spirit will tell himself, well, you know, I know somebody that loves you more than you think. He died for you. His name is Jesus. You have to go to him and you have to ask him to save you. You have to ask him. Not just to save you, but to be the Lord of your life. You don't already have the conviction of the Holy Spirit on your life. You don't already have the Lord to save you. Then you have God the Father there in heaven that took the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he took his roll book out. Donald S. Mahan is my child now. We're his children. We need to start acting like his children. Because if not, he'll chastise us. And I don't know if anybody's ever had a whipping from the Lord. And I'll say, that's not one of the easiest things that you can ever go through. At least me. I remember talking. He sure did get my attention. And he got my attention in sometimes in some ways that I didn't want it that way. But he would get your attention. My heavenly dad. My heavenly father. My heavenly papa. He is all that. And when my stepfather was living, if I'd done anything against him, if he asked us, me or the other three boys, to do something, we didn't do it. We knew what was coming that time. We were going to get a whipping. We didn't get a whipping with no, go out there and get a limb off the tree either, or take his belt off of him either. No, he had it on a leather strap where he took his straight razor and sharpened that razor on. But we cut our hair and shaved our necks. Sometimes after when I divided and everything, and then I was supposed to get a half cut, and he's like, I go out. He's gonna really have it. He's gonna have it. He's gonna have it because of everything.
What was he? What did he want to do? He wanted the best that I could do.
That's all God wants from his children. Is the best that we can do. No one person can do it all. It takes us all. It takes us all. Son and brother. Takes us all. No. I said this morning, I'm going to challenge each one of you this week to forget about everything else around us. We'll put our minds focused on God. I'll allow God. Touch up. Put that individual's name on my heart. Require we can go to and we can do this. You know who they are, I don't. And on top of that, God spoke to your heart like God. Said, you speak to my heart. All we need to do our part. I've been inviting some other people to church. It doesn't get it. I've been hoping I can do this with plenty more. I'm glad to see God's going to give the increase. I believe that. Say it is word, his word will not return void. He's going to do what he intended for us to do. Our Father, we want to thank the Lord Jesus for this wonderful, glorious day. Father, we thank you for the beautiful sunshine. We thank you for the weather that we've had this morning. We thank you for the snow. And Lord, and when it was there, when it was coming down, and when it covered the ground, when it wasn't no twig, no grass, no nothing coming through the snow, we were thinking about the purity of that snow. And how you can make us. You can make the individuals I hear that follow, that need you today. You can cover them all. You can take the blackness that has stained that heart and made that heart so hard on the heart. But you can make it like a snake. Through your marvelous grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you, Father, for your love. We thank you for your grace. Thank you, Father, for the Word of God. Lord, help us this week that we may be able to take your Word. Father, teach somebody else
business we can think of.
Oh, okay. That's what I was thinking.
Am I what? Y'all tell me. Because I was trying to plan it easy.
Thank you.